Let's talk Prokofiev. Serge Prokofiev was born a little later than Ravel in 1891 in a sleepy village in the countryside in Russia. By the way, both composers lived until they were 62 years old. Prokofiev's dad worked as a manager of a huge farm. His mother gave him piano lessons every day for 20 minutes, not only showing him the technical aspects, but letting him actually discuss the works that he played and let her know which parts he thought were good and which bad. He was not only allowed to have his own opinion, he was encouraged by his mom to voice his own opinion. As with Ravel, Prokofiev had a healthy and nurturing childhood. When little Sergei Prokofiev was 8, he visited Moscow with his parents and saw 3 operas, Faust, Prince Igor, and Sleeping Beauty. After that visit, he felt so inspired that he sat down to write his own opera, with 8 years old. With the result that a year later he premiered his first opera, 3 acts, 6 scenes, to his family audience. The Giant. After that experience, he wrote a second opera, Desert Island. During his early teenage years, he composed so much that in 1904, for his entrance exam for the conservatory in St. Petersburg, he was 13 at the time, he brought in 2 huge folders with 4 operas, 2 sonatas, a symphony, and a whole bunch of piano pieces. Prokofiev was not very popular in class, judged by his teachers and co-students, and he himself was mostly bored out of his mind. Rimsky-Korsakov, the composer of Scheherazade, was his main composition teacher. Problem was that Prokofiev found him very conservative and dull. I must admit that in 2 years I learned nothing at his classes. Prokofiev's compositional style marked a big break with the Russian romantic way of thinking and composing. Just think of Tchaikovsky, lush melodies. Prokofiev's teachers, Glazunov, Rimsky-Korsakov, Glier, were all steeped in those old ways of composing. Prokofiev, though, was the first Russian going a new path, contemporary. "I'm not sure what you are trying to say," one of his teachers was recorded declaring. In a 1911 piano recital, the audience was utterly divided. "To hell with this futuristic music," people were heard exclaiming. "We came here for pleasure. The cats on the roof make better music." "Brilliant," the others cried. "What freshness, what temperament and originality." In 1915, Prokofiev composed the Scythian Suite, and the music created a scandal. Glazunov, one of his teachers, lost his temper during the performance and walked out. "A scandal in high society," a quote from the magazine Musica. All right, let's talk classical symphony. He completed the work in the summer of 1917, the summer of the Russian Revolution, and another summer of heavy fighting during the World War. The same summer that Ravel finished his Tombeau du Couperin. Both Ravel and Prokofiev spent that summer away from cities and rather found refuge in the countryside and used the time to compose. In that summer, Prokofiev challenged himself to write without the help of a piano. He wanted to compose only in his head, only in his imagination. And that's how the classical symphony in the style of Mozart came about. If Mozart would have lived right then, he would have kept his essence, but also adapted to the times. "He would have written like Prokofiev in his classical symphony," he said, talking about himself in the third person. "I composed the music in my head during my walks in the country. Moreover, I had subconsciously been affected by the revolutionary events that had shaken Russia to its foundations." The symphony has four movements. The first starts with a light-hearted theme in the first violins. He creates an even more light-hearted and minimal second theme. In the development section, he uses all the tools of the classical time 150 years earlier. The question is, what makes the music sound like Prokofiev? The harmonies. Harmonically, he shifts in ways that would have been unthinkable during the classical time. There are moments where he simply slips upwards one tone and creates the feeling of a soundtrack to early Walt Disney. Fun, over the top. And there are times when he shifts the harmonies in the interval of a third. Again, it feels as if one is suddenly in a roller coaster, dropping down unexpectedly. But overall, there's nothing contemporary in the music, no real dissonances, only lighthearted joy, which in itself is almost revolutionary in those dark times. He wrote in his diary, "When our classically inclined musicians and professors hear this, when our classically inclined musicians and professors hear this symphony, they will be bound to scream and protest at this new example of Prokofiev's insolence. Look how he will not let Mozart lie quiet in his grave, but must come prodding at him with his grubby hands, contaminating the pure classical pearls with horrible Prokofievish dissonances. But my true friends will see that the style of my symphony is precisely Mozartian classicism and will value it accordingly, while the public will no doubt just be content to hear happy and uncomplicated music, which it will, of course, applaud." 1 year later, in 1918, Prokofiev arrived in the US to conduct the American premiere of the Classical Symphony in Carnegie Hall. Ravel, Prokofiev, two giants in the music world, revolutionary thinkers, impressionist, expressionist, and in between, neoclassicists, reacting to the dark times with little rays of sunlight.